Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for allowing us to be together as a body, as a family. God, thank you for our time together. And so, Father, I pray that we will make the most of it. We will listen to you, God. We will hear your word. We will hear your truth. And, Father God, I pray that as we do that, God, that it will be planted deep in our hearts. God, that we will follow what you teach us today. And so, Father, use me as your instrument. Use me as your vessel. God, may you be glorified in everything that's said and done in this place. May you be lifted up. And, Father, I pray that through your word and by your word, we will go out these doors today and we will live in obedience to it. Father God, to be an instrument, to be a light in a world that needs to see you. So, Father God, may you be glorified and honored and praised in all that's happening in this place right now at this moment. We thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. God, so glad you're here today. I promise this won't be as quite as long as the Easter service. But who knows? We'll see where God takes it. We're back in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be winding this up probably maybe almost kind of maybe next week. I'm not sure. But we've been talking about rules and rituals and laws and what it's like to follow those. And Paul is talking to the Galatian people and warning them to follow these laws, or not warning them to follow them, but warning about following these things. When you follow these laws, you can't just follow one or two. You got to follow all of them. If that's going to be your way to work your way to God, which it isn't, you can't. But you must adhere to all of them. You can't just, follow 60% of them and say, God, is that good enough? God says, if we planning on being saved by his law, and you can't, by the way, but if that's the road you're going to take, then you got to adhere to all of them. I read somewhere there's over 600 commandments that you would have to keep, and we have a struggle with 10, right? So thank God for the grace that came through Jesus Christ. So that's what I want to talk about today. And it's kind of, I was telling somebody this week, going through Galatians has been kind of repetitive. Paul said, quit following the law. Quit trying to work your way to God. Quit trying to get in good graces with God by the way you work, doing it yourself. And we're going to clearly see today, anytime, and I think I may mention this the other week in chapter 4. Guys, anytime we try to improve on what God has said or God has said to do, we mess it up. We mess it up. It's why he tells us we must trust completely and totally in Christ. You can't mess this up if Christ is living it out through you. That make sense? Yeah, y'all still sleepy from last week, ain't you? You can't live it out without Christ. And so Christ is it. We've said from chapter 1 that it is Christ. It's not the law. The law isn't a bad thing. The law is a good thing. It shows us what is wrong with us, right? We need that. If we didn't have guidelines, if we didn't have some law or some guardrail to go by, then we would be all messed up. But the law clearly points what's wrong with us. Christ heals what's wrong with us. He is the only one that can take away our sins. So we're going to jump in chapter 5, verse 1, and we're just going to read through that today, and we'll stop periodically here and there and talk a little bit about a few verses. Paul has said, the Galatian people, by the way, have been listening to some false teachers who said you need to be circumcised. Things like this. You need to be circumcised. You need to follow certain dietary, meals. You need to do these things or else you're not like completely saved. It takes this plus Jesus. And you never can. The Bible tells you don't add to, don't subtract. You can't add something to Jesus like, well, if I do this and follow the Ten Commandments, then I'm more saved than if I was just following Jesus. That's the law. And so the false teachers were saying, they were trying to get them to follow the Jewish law, the Jewish customs. They were trying to get them to live as Jews. In fact, it was said, they said that you needed to become a Jew before you could become a Christian. And that's a lie. That's a lie. And so Paul's saying, you are set free in and through Jesus Christ. Not by what you do, not by the laws you follow, not how well you follow those things, not how good you are. Those things will not get you closer to God. The only thing that gets you close to God and brings you into right standing with God is Jesus Christ. period. That's it. So he's saying that we have been set free in Christ. And today we want to talk about some of that freedom. I don't know about you, but have you ever tried to work your religion? You know, have you ever tried to felt like, I don't know, you needed to do certain things or God wouldn't be happy with you, or you know, it's this work mentality that the more we do for God, the more He likes us, the closer we are to Him. I give this example all the time. It's like if you were to come up to the front of my house and I would talk with you for a little bit. Okay, I know you a little bit now. You can stand on the bottom step, you know. And then the next day I'd talk to you a little bit more and you can maybe come up on the second step. And then so on and so forth, the third and fourth step. Then you're on the porch. And then I got to spend another couple years and you're just going to have to live in that and live right there on the porch. And eventually, if you talk good enough, speak well enough, do well enough, live life like I expect you to live it, then I will let you in the house. And that's kind of the mentality that Paul has here, or the Galatians are having. Paul, you know, we have to do these things. God swung the door wide open on Easter Sunday. He swung it wide open. You can literally come before God messy, dripping, and filthy. You can come into His presence and He will clean you and wash you and purify you. Isn't that awesome? You don't have to work your way up the steps into His good graces. Jesus walked those steps. Jesus took the steps so that you and I can live. And there's a freedom in that. There's a complete freedom in that. Jesus washed everything away. And we're going to talk a little bit about, I got to be very careful, because when you talk about our freedom in Christ, people's like, well, we can just sin on then and we're good. And that is the farthest thing from the truth. That is a like almost like a death sentence. You cannot picture the freedom like that Christ has given you. And we're gonna look at that here in just a few minutes. So in chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, "So Christ has truly set us free." Really and completely set us free. So that's true. Now, make sure you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. In other words, these false teachers had come in and they were saying you got to become Jew or follow the Jewish customs to become a Christian. Don't get tied up in that. I want to use an example, and I've had several in my short ministry time. I've probably told you about this one, but there was a lady that talked to me about communion. And she believed that we should take communion every single Sunday. And their communion is like completely and totally great because you're remembering Christ. It is something we should do. But her question was, why don't we do it every single Sunday? And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. What is the Lord's Supper to you? What is that? And she said, well, you know, He hung on the cross, His blood was shed, His body was broken. So she was giving me the right answers. I said, that's right. He said, do this in remembrance of me. We need to remember the price He paid, the debt that He paid for us, the cleansing blood. We need to remember all that. But my question to you is, why do you feel it necessary or that we should observe the Lord's Supper every single Sunday? I ain't saying there's anything wrong with that. Some churches do, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that at all. And she said, and this is where I want to make my point. She said, it makes me feel more spiritual. It makes me feel closer to God. So see, here's where the straw is broken. So God told us to do this in remembrance of Him, of what He has done. But now you have taken it, and it's something that makes you feel more holy and more righteous before God. What you have actually done is took the Lord's Supper, and you are literally like putting it in place of Christ. So, taking the Lord's Supper then is making you closer to Christ. That's what you're thinking. That's what you believe. The Lord's Supper, by the way, is holy and righteous as it is, and God's given it for us to observe, and I am like, yes, it should be. But taking the Lord's Supper, it does not make you closer to God. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't make you closer to God. The things in the church, see, I want to start with that, but there's other things in the church. If I go 364 Sundays to church out of 365, that makes me closer to God. No, what you have done is you have set this law or this rule in front of yourself that said, now I can add to, now I can go to church, and God loves me more. My salvation is more complete. Nothing is more complete than your salvation through Jesus. You see, you get into these words. Well, if I read 2 chapters a day in the Bible, and this guy says, well, I read 5. Is that guy that reads 5 closer than the one that reads 2? Maybe, maybe not. What did the guy that read 2 chapters, what did he actually listen to God and live in obedience to those 2 chapters? And the guy that read 5 just read it for the sake of reading it to get points from God? There's these rituals we can find. Paul says, he says, don't fall into that legalistic thinking. It is Jesus that has set us free. It is Christ. And live in that freedom. Live in that freedom. Understand who he is and what he has done. So don't get tied up in all that again. He said, listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision, that was a big one. They said that the males had to be circumcised before they could know Jesus or before they could be saved. They'd be circumcised. This was the law. And it's a big deal. And this became a big thing in Galatia and with the Galatians. This was a big thing to them. Like the Jews were telling them, no, they could go and say, well, I'm saved. I trusted my life to Jesus. And the Jewish teachers and leaders and all said, no. You're not saved until you get circumcised. And Paul said, no, that is not what Christ teaches. It is all. It's this to-do thing. You do this, you change your diet, you start doing these things, you only walk 7 steps on Sunday. It's these things. Paul says, no, Christ has set you free. Christ has set you free. It is upon his shoulders that he took upon your sin. He nailed it to the cross. He has forgiven you. You have been set free. Because, you know why Jesus came, right? Let's revisit this just for a second. He came because man could not follow the law. Man could not follow the law. Christ came so that he could pay our penalty and the price that we owed God, the debt that we had to God. He came and paid that so that we could live. That's the simplest way I know to put it. And yet, Paul's talking to a group of people that's like, well, yeah, but we need to be circumcised. So this leader says, and he's saying, that is not the truth. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. You have been set free in Christ. He says this, and this is kind of scary after you read it a few times. Listen to what he says. He said, listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I want you to chew on that for just a second. If you're planning on doing this yourself, if you're planning on working your way to God, if you're planning on doing all the holy stuff that you think makes you holy, if you take the Lord's Supper every single Sunday you're in church and you're counting on that to get you close to God, he said, then Christ is of no benefit. Because you have set it upon yourself. You have brought it into your thinking and brought it into your... It is something that you can do. And you can't do it. You're thinking that I'll just do these things and God will be pleased and grant me salvation. That's not true. God bless them, but there's people, I've seen this over time, people working themselves to death in ministries. And believe me, we need to be ministering. We need to be doing ministries, absolutely. But if your goal is to think that you're going to stand before God and say, you had that bread baking ministry and you fed 2 million people, you're in. If you think that's how it works, that's not it. You could break 2 trillion pieces of bread and it still wouldn't put you in right standing with God. Christ puts us in right standing with God. Christ and Christ alone. I want to drive that home because I think sometimes, especially in our nation, you know, we get so legalistic. You know, well, I do this. In fact, just ask some questions. We're planning on here in a couple months. I want to take the camera out on the street. We're going to do something we've been wanting to do for several years. We're going to take the camera out on the street, and I just want to go randomly and ask people if they're willing to, what's your view of Jesus? What does the church mean? When I say the word church, what comes to your mind? And I'm looking to get an answer kind of like this from some of them. Oh, that's where all the haughty, uppity people go that think they're better than we are. That could be a possible answer. Which tells me, like, we're not doing our job very well. When people out there, when an outsider looks at the church, they need to see things like humility, kindness, graciousness, love. But of some of us, and maybe not in this church, because this church is perfect, right? I'm just seeing if you're awake. I'm just seeing if you're awake. That should have been no. That should have been why. People, you know, should see those kind of things, but we either too busy trying to set them straight, or we're too busy trying to say, well, this is what a Christian looks like. When I picture a Christian, you know what I see? Remember the picture I showed y'all last week with Jesus holding the guy with the nails in his hands? That's what I see. If it wouldn't be for Jesus, you wouldn't be standing up at all. I wouldn't be standing up. If it wasn't for Jesus, you couldn't even take your next breath. People need to see the humility and love of Christ, not how much we do. Ain't nobody going to give a rat's patootie about how much you've done in history. What's going to be evident is who you did it for whose glory in which you did it. And it's for Christ. It's for Christ. Paul's saying, hey, Galatians, listen here. Don't fall back into that thinking, that way of living. Don't go backwards into that. Because Christ will be of no benefit. I love this. And I'm going to use the money scripture to kind of point this out. God said about money, he says you can't serve two masters. He says you'll love one and hate the other. And that's true. That's true. I see people who love Jesus, and that's their mindset and that's their heart, and that's who they go, you know, and serve every day. And then I see people who love money, and that's what they go after. See, I want to use this as an example. You can't serve two masters. Are you master of your life? Or is God master of your life? And it'll be evident, and it don't have to be evident to anyone. Just look in the mirror and ask that question. Is my life evidence that God is my master? Is there evidence in my life that God is my king? Well, Danny, you don't see, let's set the problem box down for a minute. I'm just asking, standing in front of the mirror, God, is my life evidence of who lives in me? Am I striving to make myself holy? Because Paul's telling the Galatians, that's kind of what you're doing, and it ain't working. It will never work, never has, never will. And if you're counting on you to be master of your life, he'd say to the Galatian folks this morning, he'd say, if you're counting on you to make it right, you'll stand before God condemned to hell because you can't make it. Only Christ. Only Christ. You ever heard the saying? When God looks at you, when God looks at a Christian, he looks through Jesus, and so when he looks through Jesus, he sees perfection. I'm so thankful that Jesus stands in front of me. If not, it would just be a messy mess that God would see. He said, "Christ will be no benefit to you. You're going to serve one or the other, you or him." So don't fall back into that. I'll say it again. If you were trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, by following the law, following the rules, if you're trying to find favor with God, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. Homework tonight. Go home and look up. You can Google this. Go home and look up the whole law of Moses. And here's another challenge. Take it this week once you find it and live by it. Just a test. Just to see what would happen. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. See how long it lasts. Live by that. When I looked at the law of Moses, I began to praise Jesus. Because like there ain't no way I'd get past that. There is no way. God, I see your grace clearer now than I've ever seen it before. That is a trouble spot for me. Anybody else have trouble spots? Yeah, we all have trouble spots. And thank God for his grace through Christ, because Christ takes us through the trouble spots. Isn't it a great thing to see that Christ washed our trouble spots away? He goes on. You got to follow the whole law. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with Christ by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. That's some serious things. We can stop right there and go home and just marinate our brains on those few passages. Things like, you know, cut off from Christ. You know why he's saying that? Because if we're following something else and our heart and minds and souls aren't sold out and serving Christ, then we're going to follow something else. Here's one thing I know about humanity. Here's the one thing I know about humanity. We're all going to follow something. There ain't a soul in this room that don't have a little selfishness in us, is it? There ain't a soul in this room that doesn't have a little bit of anger tendency. There ain't a soul in this room this morning that hasn't thought, I wished I could slap them with like a bat, you know? There isn't a soul in this room that doesn't have some of that in you, right? Which tells me it is totally impossible to live a life pleasing to God outside of Christ. And I want you to get this before we get down to about middle or three-fourths of the way through this chapter, because he's going to tell us how to live and who to listen to. He's going to tell us what he's done for us. But there is not a one of us that can live righteously outside of Christ. We just all messed up. But listen, to be cut off from Christ, think about that today. You want to do it your way? You want to follow God your way? Then go ahead. But he says, you're cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace, or from God's grace. Who are you trusting? But we who live by, listen to this carefully, by the Spirit, eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. That's our hope, right? For when we were placed our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. There's no, either way. When we put our faith and trust in Christ, circumcised or uncircumcised, Christ is the Redeemer. You're saved. What is important is faith expressing itself through love. Faith expressing itself through love. I trust God. I trust Christ that is living in me. I've told you this before. People go around and they use the word love very loosely. It's teenagers. Listen. I want you to ask a boy or girl if they ever ask you out or whatever, ask them this one question before you would accept a date or whatever. Love. I love you. Right. You're 16 years old, and I think we need to have a conversation about what love actually is. Love's very serious. Love's not just an emotion. Love is a powerful force. It is love that Christ had that changed our lives, if you know him. Love is powerful. So don't loosely use the word love. Okay? But ask this question. If a boy or girl ever asks you, you know, date or whatever, teenagers, and even if you're single and 50 or 90 or whatever, ask this question. How much do you love Jesus? If they don't love Jesus more than they love you, you don't need them. Is Jesus the first love in your life? If Jesus ain't the first love, and boy, I wish somebody would have told me this when I was 19 years old and helped me see it and helped me understand it. If God isn't your first love, then you can't love me. Not like I should be loved. That's just a little side note. faith expressing itself through love. I trust God. God lives in me. That's why I can love. I can't love people. I can like people. I can semi-appreciate people. But I can't genuinely love people outside of Christ. Can't happen. Oh, yes, I can. I ain't saying you can't have like a deep affection or a deep caring. But you got to understand what love is. Love will die. In fact, love did die to bring life. Love's intense. Love is huge. And that's the reason I know that under my strength and me trying to follow some church righteousness or whatever, I can't love people. Not outside of Christ. The only reason there's any love in my heart is because Christ lives there. So I have faith that through Christ, it will be administered with love. I didn't even care whether people went to heaven or hell at one point in my life. That didn't bother me as long as I thought I was going to get there. And now it bothers me that there are people who don't know Jesus. Love. Love does an amazing thing to the human heart. But those who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive faith by faith the righteousness God has promised us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself through love. You were running the race well. Who held you back from the following, from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for He is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I am trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. I just wish those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. And he got real intense here. I actually looked this up. What did he mean by mutilating and circumcision? Go home and look it up. I'm not going to give you a graphic picture today, but I almost did, but I ain't. You can look this up yourself. But he's like saying, I wish these guys go on and castrate themselves. That's how intense. I just wish they'd go ahead and leave you alone. They're preaching, this has to be done. This has to be done. You can't be saved. You can't know God. You can't. Paul said, that's a lie. He said, you want to be circumcised? If that's your law, that's your rule, and you think that's going to put you in right standing with God, here's the knife, buddy. Go behind the barn and make it happen. Make it happen. If that's what you think is going to get you in a relationship with God, then go for it. But quit teaching people a lie. It is Christ that sets you free. Not the rituals, not the doings, not the law. Christ has set you free. Man, do you realize the trampling of the blood of Christ when people teach, oh, you got to have this, you got to do that, you got to be this way, you got to respond this way, you got to act this way, you got to do these things. That's trampling the blood of Christ. He says Christ is of no use. If this is your mind, he's of no use. His sacrifice was for nothing, if that's the case. And Paul's saying, I just wish they would go ahead and mutilate themselves. Be done with it. I hate it when people teach something outside of Christ, like, you got to do this. What did Jesus say do it? Well, not necessarily, but I think it would be good. Well, if Jesus didn't say it, I don't need to be doing it. And it might be a good thing. I don't know. It might be a good thing to do. I don't know. But if Jesus didn't say it, I ain't got to do it. It's Christ. This whole book of Galatians, if nothing else, it is Christ. It is Christ. He is it. everything you need, every way you need to live, every way that you respond, it is all Christ. Every bit of it. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. Don't let false teachers. I've been through it. I got people who tell me that, heck, years ago I thought if we didn't go to church on a Wednesday night, we were condemned to hell. You know? Me and my wife, I'll never forget, we were just tired and we decided to play hooky. And we got us some disguises and some mask and colored hair. I'm just kidding. but one Wednesday, we were just tired. I thought it was a sin to be tired. I needed to save some energy for God, right? But my thinking back then, like Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, twice on Sunday, we got home like at midnight. But and there's nothing wrong with that, guys. There's nothing wrong with going and worshiping and going and being with family. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you just need a little break. You know what I'm saying? Is that a sin? Because we get a card in the mail that pretty much implied that it was. And I'm like, okay, so I let God down. So now I'm back down to the second step. Who in here has always stayed on the second step? I can't get on the porch. God's never going to let me in. I was a second step kind of guy. If Wednesday night, missing Wednesday night discipleship, that's going to keep me out of the kingdom of heaven, then Jesus died for nothing. I should just be going to discipleship on Wednesday night. Discipleship's good. Studying the Bible is great. This is something to think about. This Word of God right here, you could take and read the entire Bible and you could learn all kind of stuff. But if Jesus isn't in your life, you will never get to heaven because you read the Bible. That one just came to my mind. You're not going to be able to stand before God one day and say, well, I read all of it. He's going to say, well, that's fine. We'll talk about that after we find out what you did with Christ. I told a guy one time, he said, I'm just dumb. He said, I can't read and comprehend a lot of stuff. I said, can you focus on this? Focus on this right here. Jesus said the most important thing for you to remember and live by. If you can remember this, everything else will fall into place and you'll start learning stuff. You'll start growing. Just listen to this. Jesus said, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love God with everything you are. Love God first. Love God most. And love your neighbor as yourself. Go and live that. Trust that. Live that. Obey that. And everything else will start to come into place. But what did I just say? Jesus said, this is what you do. Jesus didn't say, go to discipleship training on Wednesday night. Jesus didn't say, make sure you're at church 365 days out of the year. You missed one. We got to talk. He didn't say that if I read 20 chapters a day, I would be closer to God. Jesus didn't say any of that. We should go to discipleship and read our Bible and study. And we should go to church. God says we should. It's good for us, but that doesn't make you closer to God. Christ puts you in right relationship with God. Now, don't y'all dare go out of here and say, well, I can start missing groups and stuff, because, you know, that's wrong as well. Ain't going to get you closer to God, but you need it. Who in here needs to study? Just a handful of us. Awesome. Well, we're going to heaven. Listen to what Jesus says. Paul goes on. He says, who's been teaching you these things? Don't listen. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads throughout the whole batch of dough. I'm trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. And I got to make one more point. The way you don't get confused is you do study. But here's the key. As you study, trust God to place it in you. Trust God for the learning. Trust God for the eye opening. Trust God for the feeding, the feasting. Trust God for the growing, the seed that grows. Trust God. Because there's going to be people that try to confuse you. Oh boy, oh boy. I've met prophets, bishops, pastors, priests. I've met them all, and I'll never forget the first time I walked into a room of pastors. I was like 3 months pastor. You know, I was young. I was a baby, still wearing my pastor diaper. You know, I was young. And so I walked into this big group of pastors, and I'm like, oh my gosh, these guys are going to eat me up. Going there, and they use big words like righteousness and holiness and graciousness, and I'm flipping them, you know, y'all hold up. You know, I'm trying my best to stand. Spent a couple months in a group. You know what I found out? They're just as screwed up as I am. They wore a tie and a suit, but they just as messed up as I am. They're doing the same thing I'm doing. They're searching. They're trusting God. They're trying their best to live according to what Jesus taught. They're priest, rabbi, prophet. I don't care. You're human. Christ is it. I don't care what your title is. Just because I'm pastor, and we've had this conversation, I've had people say, they'll call me and say, say a special prayer for me. And well, let me get out my special prayer booklet. And I love praying for people. It's one of the great privileges. I love it. But you come to my house and you can search my house. I have no red phone in my house, a hotline to God. Did you know your prayer is just as effective as mine? My response should be, why don't we pray together? Why don't we pray together? God hears those who seek Him sincerely, and He listens. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. For you have been called to live in freedom. Listen to that. You've been called. Christ didn't just save you. He called you. He called you to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. So here we go. We need to take note of what he's saying, how we should live in this freedom. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Listen to what the whole law can be summed up with. It's funny, I've heard this somewhere before. Love your neighbor as yourself. Somebody said that. It was Jesus. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. If you want to see a good argument, go to church. They got the best ones going on. Isn't it funny? You got pagans out there who can get along perfectly. They can tick each other off, and in 10 minutes, they're best friends again. You go into church to people who claim to have the heart of Christ, and they got an argument going on. I mean, they done set fire to the building. Paul's warning us. There's something to be said of the maturity of saying, I can smile and walk away. I can still love them. I don't mean walk away like this. I got you. Not like that. Sincerely, I'm telling you, if we done a probe in every church in the world today, if we done a love probe, God was to stick it through the roof of the building and tested the love in churches all over the planet today, that meter would probably be shimmying just up off of zero. There's a lot of unlove in a church. And that's a shame. Because what did God command us to do? But they won't change. They do it this way. Shut up. Do it God's way. What have I said before? There's three ways to do something. My way, your way, and God's way. And there ain't but one right way. And that's God's way. People say, well, that's my personality. Well, go repent. Repent of that personality. Ask God to grant you a new one. Love each other. Guys, I'm telling you, it is hugely important. I know I get frustrated too. I get aggravated. I get mad. I get upset. I walk away sometimes like, if I only had an axe, you know? God tells us to love. Paul's telling us here, for you who have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, we've been in that freedom. He said, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your own sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. He says, if you're always backbiting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Here we go, living by the Spirit. So, I say, this is Paul speaking, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil. We can testify to that, right? We all have one of those, by the way. We all came onto this earth with a sinful nature, and he's always wanting to do what's not right. Seems right sometimes, but it's not. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants to do. Go figure it out. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces, they're always constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. Your evil nature don't want you to carry out good intentions. The Spirit of God does, however, and they're always being a battle. Who are you going to listen to? Started to draw a little poster this morning. It really is this simple. Evil nature and God. And you're in the middle. Arms stuck out. This is what it looks like. They're always battling one another. The devil wants to destroy you. God wants to make you holy. Jerk your arm away when the decision needs to be made. Get away from the evil nature. And they're constantly at each other. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law anymore, the law of Moses. You are not obligated. You don't, yeah. This is simple. This is really simple. I looked through about 40 pages of commentary on this one particular verse. This is pretty simple. If you're being led by the Spirit, God's Spirit, you're going to be doing things that God says do. It's really that simple. I could have brought you commentary that, you know, every guy ever wrote commentary responded to this. And I'm just going to use the Francis Chan method. You know, what does it mean for the Spirit of God to lead you? That means you listen to Him. Period. If the Spirit of God is leading you, well, how will I know? You will know if you're in this. And let's be honest. We know right from wrong, don't we? We're not that off kilter. We know right from wrong. Also, with the directing of the Spirit, there will come like a peace. There will come like, you know, you ever thought, it don't necessarily look right, but man, I am being strongly led to this. Weigh it out with Scripture. Is honesty a good thing? Let's just set up a little scenario right quick. I got to go meet with a person. I'm going to sell them a house. Okay? Roof's got a leak. Porch about to fall off of it. You can't tell it because I propped it up and painted it. You know, I'm about to sell them a house. And I'm going, and God, I want you to let them write me a check right now. And God would say, fine and well, but tell them everything about the house. And so here we go. Driving up the road. I want the money. More money, more money, more money. I want the money. God says, tell them what's wrong. Be honest with them. Be honest with them. We know that's the right thing to do. It's going to cost me a couple $1,000s. But hey, man, you get there. That hole, it leaks like a busted balloon. The porch, I wouldn't stand over there on that corner if I was you. I wouldn't do that because it has no pillars up under it. It's propped up by a Tootsie Pop. You know? It's the house has got some issues. Be honest. Honesty's good, right? If you were buying the house, would you want that? God has this thing, He said, and this has even come from the law to let us know how to do things. He says, do unto others as you'd want to be done unto. Okay? If you want that person to be honest with you, be honest with them. Just a little example. And the Spirit will lead you. people today in the Christian world. I'm a Christian, but I have no idea the direction I'm supposed to be going, really. When was the last time you talked to God? When was the last time you sought Him in His Word? You don't know what to do and you're a Christian? Well, first of all, start loving people. Start loving people. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants to do. And the Spirit gives us the desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are always constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. You want to do good. Quit listening to the sinful nature. But when you are directed by the Spirit, listen here. This line, if it may work, if the Spirit leads you, we might get by with it. He's very definitive. He's very set on it. He said, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. You'll do what the Spirit is leading you to do. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear, and we know this. Here we go. Here's the results of the sinful nature. Sexual immorality, that's rampant. Impurity, that's rampant in our world today. Lustful pleasures, that's rampant. Idolatry, good grief, we could write a book on that. Sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have told you before, listen to this, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Period. That ain't Danny saying, that's Scripture. That's God's Word. And so we got people, well, I'm a Christian, I go to church. Here we go. That don't make you a Christian. Well, I'm a Christian, I read the Bible. That don't make you a Christian. Well, I try to help people. Great. That don't make you a Christian. I'm a good person. I give money to the church and needy organizations. That don't make you a Christian. You're still evil. You're still wrong. You're still sinful. What makes you a Christian is Christ. Who will lead you down the right path is Christ. We can't follow the right path without Christ. We will go to some of these things. Well, my idolatry ain't quite as bad as other people's. There's not a scale. If you do like 1% idolatry, it's no different than doing 3,000% of idolatry. There is no scale. Idolatry is still idolatry. Men, talking to you for a second. If there's any lustfulness in your life, there ain't just a little bit of lust. It's the same as just having a lot of lust. It's still sinful. How often? And it's crazy. How many men pull their phones up and computers to check out a little pornography? Evil desires, lustfulness, idolatry, dissension. How many of us stand face to face with people and tell them one thing and there's just this, with a smile, we're saying, I could just kill you right now. He says, that's what when you pulled in this direction, that's the result. That's what happens. That's the reason I tell people. And I got a text because I made a strong comment. I don't know whether it was last Sunday or one Sunday. Anyway, that you can't live life right. You can't be good without Christ. And people said, there's good people in the world. Depends on whose scale you're using. I'm as rotten as they get. I got a stench in me like a rotten tomato. There ain't no good in me. Whose scale are you using? By your scale? Because if I'm going by my scale, I'm the greatest thing that ever blessed this earth. Y'all should all be like me. I would be awesome. My wife's shaking her head no. I've seen that. Whose scale are we using? You got to weigh it out on God's scale. You want to know what goodness is? Then go to the source of goodness. And I'll guarantee you when we weigh by that scale, we 150% across the planet would honestly have to say, I stink. I'm not holy without Christ. Period. Bible says, we're just messed up. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. all of those things, think about that, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the reason he's saying that, he's talking to people. People do these things to think they're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. I know as Christians, we stumble and fall. Let's do the Baptist things more, okay? We stumble and fall. I know that. I went through this past week, and I've been mentally trying to trust God in this, working on my anger issues, and I'm getting better, okay? But I mentally counted this week, like how many times I kind of lost it. And I didn't quit, not just the times I throw a wrench at something. I'm talking about even think it, because God says if I think it, I done it. So I think it. And there was a few times that I messed up. Now, what he's talking about here, idolatry, and not inheriting the kingdom of heaven, he is talking about people here that give God lip service, but there's no sorrow, there's no repentant heart. If you can go and continue to stay in a sin, and people get mad when you say this, if you can continually sin, if you can continually be angry, if you can continually be degrading to people, if you can continually just sin, I'm just going to say it out loud. I don't think you have a relationship with Jesus. Because those things will not flow out of you. And if they did, there would be a heartbreak. There would be a sorrow. You know, have you ever disappointed a friend unknowingly or whatever? You disappointed, and you just felt horrible that you did that. You know, it's like, oh man, I let you down, and just feel horrible about that. There's a sorrow there. There's a sorrow. And there should be, as a Christian, if we disappoint or feel as though we break God's heart, there should be. We're not going to hell. We're saved. God's grace has cleaned us and washed us. But we still need to repent of all. What he's talking about here, for those who continue to live in that old nature, go check your relationship with Christ. Because you cannot continue in sin if Christ lives in you. You can't. You can't. He goes on, he says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind. Listen to what he produces. This kind of fruit. And he uses the word fruit. I love that. It produces. It gives me the farmer picture again. You know, you got a stalk or a tree or something that comes up. It buds out. Man, in fact, I don't know if I'm going to do this yet or not, but I'm, if y'all want to help somebody talk with me after service, I would love to plant the kiddos a little garden bed, like a raised bed, that's what they call them. I'd love to plant a kid. Not just for that, adults too. I'd love to start our kids a little garden back here, just a small one, you know, and let them raise some things. I would love for them to see this. Just, man, I love to see a string bean come up out of the ground, you know, and then describe, you know, it's got two leaves on it. I don't know about y'all. This might be goofy to y'all. But like two leaves. And then next week it's got another leaf. That's exciting. It's growing. It's growing. The soil is good. And it's growing. And because of what's in the soil, the plant is growing. And then you watch it come up. And then it puts on them little white flowers. And that's more beautiful than any azalea you will ever see. Because I know food's coming right after this, okay? So you got this white flower. That's called the bloom. And it goes to the stage. And the soil is good. The soil is good. It's growing because what's in the soil. It's growing out of the soil. And so you watch the little white flowers, and before you know it, you'll see this little, I don't know, kind of looks like a little booger. I mean, you know, it just sticks out past the flower, but it's the little string bean coming on. And you watch it and you look at it, and after a while that thing grows to be, you know, whatever length, and you can pick it and you can harvest. The fruit is good. Who all likes string beans? Cool. So you take it. And here's what he's saying. He said, you've been planted in Christ. You have been planted in Christ. And when you get planted in Christ, there's not this immediate kind of thing, but you're going to grow because the soil is good. The soil is good. And you're going to go and you're going to bloom and things are going to work. And always remember, there's storms you have to go through. I've seen gardens planted, and they have to endure heavy rains, wind, even a little hail sometimes. Hail falls from the sky. They have to endure some of that. But they'll come on up and they'll produce. And so here's the fruit. Here's what you got to remember about a Christian, one who is planted in Christ. They produce fruit. They produce fruit. And God says the fruit is good. And here's what they produce. You want to see a Christian? I love Christians because those who love Jesus, listen to what the preacher said. The fruit in our lives is this: love, joy, peace, patience. Let's meditate on that one for a second. Patience. Y'all got patience? Just checking. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things. This is the freedom. This is the freedom in which we live. This is it. It brings peace. Danny, my life, that's the reason you have these people, these crazy people, that you see in such turmoil, and they're just smiling. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you her whole story again, but there's a lady that we knew a long time ago that, and I told you her story, but had cancer. She always had a smile on her face. And now I know why. She said, each passing day, I'm getting closer to Jesus. I wonder how many of us think in terms of like, or that kind of thinking. I was listening to Francis Chan preach a message a couple weeks back, and he said, man, I want Jesus to come like right now. Like right now would be a great day for him to come. And he said he got some responses that people said, well, I'd kind of like the experience, or I'd kind of like live long enough. And he's like, are you serious that you can compare anything in life that you may want to do to meeting Jesus? Are you serious? You want God to hold off and taking us to heaven because there's something better here? That's what he's saying. There's nothing here that compares to Jesus. Nothing. Christians need to live with the hope every day. I hope it's today, God. I hope it's today. Self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. They're dead. Okay? Since we are living by the Spirit, talking to Jesus followers, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Let's love each other. Let's applaud each other. Let's say to each other, great job. In the name of Jesus, great job. Let's encourage, build up, lift up, motivate, move forward, be there and help, and appreciate the differences and diversity that God has placed in each one of us. So, yeah. I'm going to preach on through Galatians and then on into the next book. Y'all good with that? No, because I want to get dinner. I've already been looking at my watch. Your groceries ain't no more important than Jesus. I could play with that, but we'll leave it alone. So, make sense? Yeah, it does. Y'all excited? Feel like I'm in a funeral home. Wow. Jesus, you might give us a pep talk. Man, really? Guys, all I can say is this. Take the scriptures that God had penned through Paul's hand. Trust them. Think of your life. What is God growing? First of all, are you planted in Jesus? I mean, seriously. I don't know about you, but my testimony goes, I've been saved since I was 20. But there are still days I look in the mirror and say, do I really belong to you, Jesus? I mean, seriously, because you ever got your life is so screwed up at times, you wonder if you're actually belonging to Jesus? Ever got there? And just me, that's just me. Man, it's precious when God takes you to the Scripture and He shows you, yes, you're mine. You're mine. You're messed up, but you're mine. And I love you. So God loves you. And spend time with Him this week. Love Him this week. Follow Him this week. Listen to Him. Follow the leading of the Spirit. Because if you belong to Jesus, the Spirit's going to lead you. You just got to listen. So have a set of ears that listens. Don't talk so much, says the one who talks all the time. All right. So let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. God, thank you for, God, just your word. Thank you for your truth that, God, it never fails. It never fails. When we anchor in it, God, we will hear you. We will see direction that you have given us. God, thank you for giving us and planting in us your Spirit. God, that is so amazing and so overwhelming to think about. God, that you would redeem us and save us through the blood and of the cross and the resurrection. God, you would bring us unto yourself through Christ. And then say, you can't do this alone, and place your Spirit in us, God, to give us our leader, our direction giver. God, thank you for that. Give us ears this week, God, to hear Him, to listen. God, teach us and train us. God, I pray that you watch over us. God, I pray that just like the joy of seeing a blooming plant, that we will thrill your heart this week in the way we live. May you be glorified in it all. In Jesus' name, amen.